The Word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing into the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit, the joints and the marrow, the critic of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. All Scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, and righteousness, that the man of God might be mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Continuing our studies this evening, where we're in Genesis 29, we'll pick up with verses 15 through 20. All right, we might as well redeem the time while we're here. That means that you deal with any personal sin in your life to apply rebound necessary so that you can have filling of God, the Holy Spirit. In this state of spirituality, we are then able to glorify God, engage in action with honor, apart from human good, and those things that are not rewardable and valuable in regards to our eternal life niche. We're here, we might as well make it count, so I'll give you opportunity as usual to rebound if necessary as we start with the normal word of prayer. Father, again, we thank you for your many grace and mercies. We thank you for yet another opportunity to study the truth of your word. We ask that you bless us to continue to support our positive volition as we seek to stick with the straight and narrow in regards to our Christian lives, and that we do all these things in glorification of your person and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. All this via God the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. The text moves on. Jacob has arrived in Haran. He's met his cousin Rachel, first cousin. She's a knockout. He immediately goes into energy of the flesh and does what he can to impress her, as he recognizes and probably supposes, oh, this is going to be easy, as this is one of the objectives in regards to the reason why he was sent there, based on what his father commanded him to go marry from Laban's daughters. And she obviously runs and tells her father Laban that he's there, and he has met his uncle Laban. Now he gets to meet the real meat of the family in regards to where the STA comes from, in respect to that which is done, as has been done. He's been a part of it in his own life, especially in the area of manipulation and deceit. And Laban obviously embraces him, as any family member might do after knowing that they are going to get news of his sister Rebecca, whom he's not seen for decades now, and get caught up in all the news. But otherwise, he pumps him for information as he leads him back to the house. And the text reveals that Jacob essentially gives him the information of what occurred with respect to the birthright scenario, his mom's involvement to setting up the scheme, his brother Esau finding out about it, his mom's plan for him to come and visit Laban, his father's charge in regards to getting a wife from the family in that respect. All this is brought out in regards to the phrases that are given to us with respect to after Jacob relates to Laban all these things. In verse 14, Laban said to him, "Surely you are my bone and my flesh." He recognizes that he's not only a blood relative, but the family essentially is perpetuating the common domineering genetic STA fallacy that we find in this family. Manipulation, deceit, and things of this nature, scheming, as we've seen, as would be related to Jacob and what he did with his father, Isaac, in that regards. And then the phrase, "and he stayed with him a month," implies at least, or suggests, that he also told Laban that his time there was to be short. The plan was to be there just for a few days, per his mom's instructions in that regards. But it is that month that gives Laban this window of opportunity, if you will, to come up with some type of scheme if he's going to make Jacob's visit profitable. Obviously, he shows up on his doorstep not bearing gifts like the servant did 18 years ago when he came and got Rebekah. And so some other avenue must be approached. And here we have Laban essentially starting to initiate the scheme. We see a parallel here in the very actions that Laban engaged in back with Rebekah as he tried to convince the servant for her to stay, let her stay around for a few days. Now he's going to try to get Jacob to stay around for a few days. And he's a lot more successful in this regard. So verses 15 through 30, I've titled it, Jacob Gets Two Wives for the Price of Two. And it begins here in verses 15 through 20, the first 7 years. The first 7 years, he is in harem for a total of 20 years in this respect. All right, looking at the Hebrew here. Then Laban said to Jacob, because you are my relative, should you therefore serve me for nothing? Tell me what shall your wages be? Yeah, the wow consecutive, followed with the verb to say, Amar, Calum, Perfector, Masculine Singular, A-M-A-R, Laban, proper noun, to Jacob is a preposition Lamed preceding the proper noun Jacob. Then in the Hebrew, they have the interrogative particle Ha, H-A, would be more accurately translated should. Followed with a conjunction key, because, K-I-Y, you are my brother or relative. You had a common masculine singular noun constructed, the first common singular suffix, ach, A-C-H. Brother used it in a euphemistic form as simply a blood relative. Are you, literally in the Hebrew, you have the pronoun, second masculine singular, atah, A-T-T-A-H. Should be cause, my brother, are you. Then you have the wow consecutive, followed with the cow perfect, second masculine singular, first common singular suffix, avad, to serve, to engage in labor for someone, A-B-A-D. Then, will you serve me for nothing? For nothing is the adverb hinam, H-I-N-N-A-M, for nothing or freely, without wages, obviously, without pay. Tell me, what shall your wages be? You have the hifil imperative, masculine singular, nagad, N-A-G-A-D. Make known, tell to me, preposition lama with the first common singular suffix. What is your interrogative pronoun ma, M-A-H. Wages is the common feminine singular construct with the second masculine singular suffix, noun, mesa koret, M-A-S-E-K-K-O-R-E-T-H. Verse 16. He had the insert of the author. Now Laban had two daughters. The name of the elder was Leah, and the name of the younger was Rachel, whom we've already met. Rachel. Now Laban is a wow conjunction with the proper noun Laban. Two is your adjective feminine dual construct. Shanaim, S-H-E-N-A-Y-I-M. Shanaim. Daughters is your common masculine plural noun, absolute, bat, B-A-T-H. Name is common masculine singular construct, shem, S-H-E-M. The name of, and the construct. Older is the definite article with the adjective feminine singular absolute. Literally, great is the word here in the context of being older, G-A-D-O-L. Leah, proper noun, transliterated. And the name, Wow Shem, Again, same construct, name of. Then the younger is the definite article with the adjective feminine singular absolute, kathon, Q-A-T-H-O-N, literally means little or small, smaller, hence the younger, Rachel. Verse 17, we're then given a description of these two females. And Leah's eyes were weak, but Rachel was beautiful of form and face. Wow conjunction. Then you have the noun for eyes. Common both dual construct ion, since there's two, it's dual, A-Y-I-N. Leah, were weak, is the adjective feminine plural absolute, rak, R-A-K. Literally means tender or soft. But Rachel, while conjunction with the noun Rachel, proper name, was beautiful of form and face. Was is literally she became. Is a cow perfect third feminine singular verb hayah, H-A-Y-A-H. Beautiful is the adjective feminine singular construct yapeh, Y-A-P-E-H. Followed with the noun for form or shape is a common masculine singular absolute toar, T-O-A-R. And wow conjunction, beautiful, yapeh, repeated, adjective feminine singular construct. And then face is not paneh, but mar-eh, M-A-R-E-E-H, in appearance, hence face. And then verse 18. Now Jacob loved Rachel. So he said, I will serve you 7 years for your younger daughter, Rachel. While consecutive, our verb love here is a cal and perfect third masculine singular, ahav, A-H-A-B. Jacob doing the loving, sign of direct object. The object of his love here is Rachel. And he said, or so he said, while consecutive, our verb amar, to say, A-M-A-R, is a cal and perfect third masculine singular. I will serve, or I will work, engage in labor. Verb cal and perfect first common singular with second masculine singular suffix, avad, avad, A-B-A-D. 7 years, seven is your adjective, feminine singular absolute, sheva, S-H-E-V-A. Years is the common feminine plural noun absolute shana, sheva shana, S-H-A-N-A-H. For Rachel, you have the preposition bet, follow the proper noun Rachel. She's the means for why he is laboring is the idea of the preposition. Your younger daughter. Common feminine singular noun construct with second masculine singular suffix. First daughter, bath again, B-A-T-H, followed with the definite article. And younger is adjective feminine singular absolute, kathon, K-A-T-H-O-N. Verse 19. And Laban said, it is better that I give her to you than I should give her to another man. Stay with me. And he said again, while consecutive, followed with our verb amar, A-M-A-R. Count perfect. Laban. Then better is your adjective masculine singular absolute. Tov, T-O-B, good or better. Follow with the cal infinitive construct, our verb to give. Nathan, N-A-T-H-A-N. It is good or better, giving her, literally. Sign direct object. Here with the third feminine singular suffix, F. To use, preposition lamed, with the second feminine singular suffix. Again, the feminine here, reference to the male, points to the nephesh, the soul. Hence, it emphasizes his choice of whom he would like. Then you have the preposition men, followed with the calendative construction, construct, again, the verb to give, here with the first Conosinger suffix, Nathan, other than giving, other than my giving, apart from my giving, her, again, eth, sign of direct object with the first, third feminine singer suffix, for a wife, literally preposition lamed, followed with our noun for wife or woman, in the Hebrew, common masculine singular absolute, ish, ish. Of another man is the adjective feminine singular absolute, acher, acher. Then the phrase stay with me is the cal imperative masculine singular verb, yashav, yashab. Stay or dwell with me is a preposition with the first common singular suffix here, imad, I-M-I-M-M-A-D. Verse 20, so Jacob served 7 years for Rachel, and they seemed to him but a few days because of his love for her. While consecutive, then our verb again to serve is avad, A-B-A-D. And he served, calendar perfect third masculine singular, Jacob, for Rachel, preposition bet, with the proper noun Rachel. 7 years again is sheva, shana, the adjective feminine singular, followed with the common feminine plural noun. And they seemed to him. That is the wow consecutive, followed with the cal and perfect third masculine plural again, haya, H-A-Y-A-H. And they became, literally, to him is literally in his eyes. Preposition bet, again, followed with our noun for eyes, I-N-A-Y-I-N, common both dual construct. But a few days, you have the preposition cough, follow with the common masculine plural noun, absolute yom, Y-O-M, as days literally, follow with the adjective for the word one, but it's in the plural. Adjective masculine plural, absolute ekad. Strange. E-C-H-A-D, ones, hence a few. As days, ones. Because of his love for her, preposition bet, then the common feminine singular noun construct with the third masculine singular suffix here is akaba, A-C-H-A-B-A-D, A-B-A-H, excuse me. In his love, literally, for her, it's assigned a direct object with the third feminine singular suffix F. All right. Rereading these six verses. Verse 15. Then Laban said to Jacob, because you are my relative, should you therefore serve me for nothing? Tell me what shall your wages be? Verse 16, now Laban had two daughters. The name of the elder was Leah, and the name of the younger was Rachel. Verse 17, and Leah's eyes were weak, but Rachel was beautiful of form and face. Verse 18, now Jacob loved Rachel. So he said, I will serve you 7 years for your younger daughter Rachel. Verse 19, and Laban said, it is better that I give her to you than I should give her to another man. Stay with me. Verse 20, so Jacob served 7 years for Rachel. They seemed to him but a few days because of his love for her. Analysis of verses 15 through 20. 1. The month has passed as per verse 14, and Laban now initiates a plan. So 2. On the surface now, his words seem innocent enough, giving an appearance of concern about his nephew's welfare. The picture is being drawn for us the kind of person Laban really is. These will reveal the underlying hypocrite, con artist, really, that he is. And it begins with words that obviously are designed not to arouse any suspicion. They seem innocent enough. And they tend to give an appearance of concern about his nephew's welfare. Obviously there, he doesn't have means of support of any note in that regards, and hence offering him a job would seem innocent enough. Offering labor wages for his work would seem innocent enough. So three, during that month, now Jacob showed character and worked for his room and board. One thing we see out of this, Jacob wasn't any mooch. He didn't go and try to live off his relatives. He was there. He couldn't pay if anything had value otherwise. So he got out and he worked. It doesn't hurt if you're visiting people. They need help to at least offer a hand. So Jacob here shows character by the very words that Laban says. He recognized that Jacob is very industrious. Again, not unlike his mother. And that is a good quality for anyone to have, and to obviously try to help out around the ranch or the sheep ranch or whatever they had there was a good thing. So for now, as the verses make clear, his, that being Jacob's, infatuation with Rachel became full-blown love. Verses 18a and 20c make that clear. What an initial, immediate infatuation that he had. It rocks him back on his heels the longer he's there. He falls for this chick, hook, line, and sinker. Jacob loved Rachel. And the love was so much that 7 years hard labor for just a few days. That, obviously, is quite a focus. That's quite a statement of his affection that developed for him in regards to this particular female, Rachel. So, five. Now, Laban knows why he is in Haran. Obviously, Jacob related to him all these things, and he recognizes that he was told by Isaac to come and find a wife, so he recognizes that. And now, after observing Jacob for 30 days, now he knows what he wants. Obviously, it would be hard to keep hidden such infatuation, being drawn towards somebody. And Laban is obviously a very observant type of person. It fits his skills in regards to be able to read people and to be able to manipulate and things of this nature. He's sharp in this area. So he knows why he's in Haran. Now he knows what he wants. He's figured it out. So six, more than anything, he has eyes for Rachel. He obviously didn't do much to keep it hidden. All the little ways that one can reveal what they like, what they don't like, and things of this nature. Seven, now the uncle, Laban, could have stepped up and helped his nephew get a wife and helped him get what he needed to get back to his home. One who was grace-oriented, recognizing that he's there based on the commands of blessing from his father, etc. if he was a really nice, kind, loving relative, family member, here, let me help you get on your feet, etc. My daughters are single. We'll figure it out. But this is not Laban. Not by any stretch of the imagination. Eight, instead he sees someone to be exploited. He sees an advantage in life. An advantage where if he has to step on some toes to get there, big deal. Laban is the kind of guy, I guarantee you, that if his mom was still alive, he'd sell his mother for a plug nickel if he thought he could do it and get away with it. That's the kind of guy Laban is. His antics in regards to this whole ordeal shows a complete disregard of compassion and sensibility, not only to Jacob and representing his sister and brother-in-law, Isaac, but his two daughters. So nine, again, Laban comes off caring when he suggests that because you are my relative, should you therefore serve me for nothing? 10, in other words, far be it for Laban to take advantage of the family member just, quote, because, end quote. That's the idea. He's coming off, I'm not the type of person who would take advantage of someone like that. But in reality, he's exactly that kind of person. So, you'd be surprised what the Bible can teach you. When we talk about discernment, he's a perfect picture, an example of a con artist in action. One who is willing to take advantage of people in their gullibility. And trust and things of this nature in order to get over on them. So, far be it for Laban to take advantage of the family member just because you're family, you shouldn't work for free. Laban, in reality, he is exploiting Jacob's affections towards Laban's family as leverage to manipulate his, quote, flesh and blood, end quote. That's the reality. He's taking advantage of Jacob's obvious infatuation of his daughter. And the fact of his relationship on top of it all. And working hard for him shows that Jacob has compassion. He has feelings for his immediate family, even though he's not ever met him before. He's not going to sit there and sponge off him and things of this nature. So rather than accept it in grace and appreciate it, Laban sees it as a way to gain an upper hand in the situation. So 12, Laban is canny, knowing firsthand the drive of fleshly desires. Why? Because that's his motif. That's the way he operates. That's the way STAs are. STAs operate a certain way, and they can pick up real quick on other STAs that are similar in fashion. And they know all the things that stimulates their flesh, and can utilize these things to entice and tempt others around them. See? And I understand Laban's been doing this a long time. He's been this kind of guy for a long time, and nothing has changed over the years. So 13, he then asked Jacob, "What shall your wages be?" Wages, masa koreth. So 14, whatever Laban's expectations were, we can assume he figured it to involve the hand of Rachel in marriage. That's one of his objectives. He's already revealed to Laban. This is one of those cases that if Jacob had been discerning, he would have only told Laban minimal facts. Now, my brother's out to kill me. My parents sent me off. And you might tell them, yeah, my dad instructed me to marry, you know. But again, that's part of discernment. Just because someone is, quote, close, doesn't always mean that they are good candidates to spill your guts about things. You know. Growing up spiritually is designed to give us discernment. Grow up in life, learn to be first and foremost a good listener. You do that, then when you speak, it generally will be with discernment. So whatever Laban's expectations here, and asking him, you know, what can I pay you to work? We know that he was pretty safe that Jacob might just walk into this little trap he's setting and say, well, I'd like to marry one of your daughters. And here we go. So 15, verses 16 and 17 then in the narrative are an editorial interruption in the narrative, providing the options from which Jacob could have chosen in spite of the obvious. Now the obvious, all right, the text tells us he's fallen head over heels for Rachel. But the insert here in verses 16 and 17 gives us a portfolio in regards to what the two options were that Jacob had in this situation. And that is that Laban actually had two daughters, not just one, Leah and Rachel. And then the description is given in regards to both, with Leah being less than the most attractive one, to put it politely. So those two verses is Moses giving us insight of the two options that Jacob had to choose from in this situation. And 16, this is the author's way of showing that Jacob was all about appearance in choosing his mate. It validates all that we've been saying about Jacob ever since the vision. He's all about the physical. This is how he runs under his energy of the flesh. And for him, his looking for a mate, the idea of getting a wife, it's got to be the best looking one or nothing. See? So, all this dramatic and romantic affection of love that he has for Rachel. The problem is, it's all driven by energy of the flesh. It's all driven by the sin nature. What is remiss is the absence of divine love in this whole thing. It's just an affectionate, sexually driven love in that sense. Sexual love fine between husband and wife. So 17, now Laban had two daughters, as we're told here, the eldest named Leah, and then her younger sister Rachel, that is verse 16. 18, now Leah's name, Shem in the Hebrew, has been explained in many ways, such as, quote, cow, end quote. I think that's just cruel commentaries myself. But anyway. 19, now the Hebrew, the big tender eyes, I can see it to a certain degree. Looking at the Hebrew, 19, the Hebrew, Leah, there's no princess here, by the way, is derived from the root La'ah, L-A-A-H, meaning weary. And it has been suggested she received her name as part of a long or difficult birth. You've got to be careful in regards to taking names and putting too much significance to it. Sometimes they're obvious. Sometimes they're meant to have significance. Too often people get carried away and they want to put significance with every name of every person in the Bible in that respect. But here, obviously, they don't know exactly what she's going to look like when she's older, etc. She's going to look like a big cow or whatever. But weary would suggest that weary, faint, etc., possibly a stressful birth. Mom, a long stressful birth on the mom. Should name her Finally or something, maybe. So 20, as we mentioned earlier, Rachel's name means ewe or lamb, as of a sheep. So 21, now the description given Leah in verse 17 is vague, centered on her eyes. Basically centers right on her eyes, I am, in the Hebrew. 22, the translation weak, which is rock, with respect to her eyes, more accurately means, quote, tender, as in Genesis 18:7, or, quote, soft, with the nuance of weak, in Genesis 33:13. Genesis 18:7. There, in regards to the calf that was going to be killed, from the herd, as Yahweh and the two angels appeared. Abraham also ran to the herd and took a tender and choice calf. Tender is your term there. And also, Genesis 33:13. Here it has the idea of something soft, frail, with the nuance of obviously being weak. But he said to him, my Lord knows that the children are frail and that the flocks and herds which are nursing are care to me. And if they are driven hard one day, all the flocks will die. Frail. So 23, physically, however you want to picture this, you hear the things out there. She was cross-eyed, droopy-eyed, you know. Another one I've seen is that she has a big round eye. That's what Americans called other Americans over Vietnam, for American girls, round eyes, to differentiate from the more slanted eyes, Asian ladies, and that was not acceptable in that area of the world, not considered to be pretty. That's another suggestion. But really, it's all guess. It's all guesswork in that respect. But one thing we do know is that physically her eyes, point 23, were an outstanding feature, detracting from any other, if you will, favorable female assets otherwise. For however it was, they stood out. And it did not compliment her in her appearance. We're not saying that she was an ugly hag or anything like that. It's simply her eyes. It was enough that whatever other aspects of her beauty might have been there, it tend to obviously diminish that in the eyes of one who is only looking at the physical. So 24, it is understood that in any case, and this is across the board, the description is used here in a derogatory sense when it's contrasted with her sister. And that's point 25. This, as she is contrasted with Rachel being beautiful of form and face. Yapet Taror, while Yapet Mara. So 26, this means Rachel was voluptuous and very good looking in appearance. She was a knockout. '27, it appears that the younger daughter got the lion's share of good genetics in this case. But as we will come to see, does that mean that she was necessarily the best of wife for a positive believer? '28 and verse 18, we are informed for the first time now what had become obvious otherwise, that Jacob loved, or Hebrew word, Ahav, Rachel. Verse 18 now informs us specifically that he had fallen in love with her. So 29 now, the most surprising thing about verse 18 is not Jacob's love in that context, but the price he was willing to pay to have her as his wife. That is, 7 years working for Laban. 7 years working for Laban. And Jacob's already, in our time and age, up there in years. He's in his 60s. And he's waited all these years. Now he finds one that he wants, and he's willing to set himself out and work for 7 years, looking at her day in and day out, and wait to have her as his wife. So, quite an outstanding gesture, if you will, on the part of Jacob. So the most surprising thing, again, about verse 18.29 is not Jacob's love, but the price he's willing to pay to have her as his wife. That is, 7 years working for Laban. 30, this was to demonstrate to Rachel's father the degree of Jacob's affection for this woman, as well as to continue to impress Rachel herself. Maybe in 30 days, he did not feel secure enough that she would reciprocate. Again, we've been through all this, all of his antics back at the well. That's just cosmic. See, that's just a cosmic way to approach things in regards to looking for one's opposite number. All this, again, is to be contrasted to how Isaac received his wife, Rebecca. He didn't have to go through any of this. He didn't have to impress her. The only thing that impressed her was the doctrine that came from that serpent's mouth. She goes, I'm out of here. God's hand's in this thing. And they're married. Now, they're married after that fact. Volition is a two-edged sword. People get in other SCAs. This idea, just because two people are positive and even fairly adjusted to doctrine, that somehow their married life is going to be just picture perfect, that's nothing but rose-colored glasses. I'm not saying that it couldn't be. I'm just saying that's not in touch really with reality. Everybody has an SCA. And I don't care how positive both of the parties might be, when the SCA expresses itself, it stinks in either case. See? But with Bible doctrine, obviously, you've got the great equalizer through rebound and application of doctrine in the relationship otherwise. So 31, Jacob had no dowry to offer Laban, which was a custom in this time and age. So he contracts his service to gain the hand of the younger daughter. He recognized that he was without anything to give the family for her hand. That was customary. So 32, this would constitute the dowry offered by the groom to the father of the bride, as was customary. And it's interesting to note, as we'll see, Laban feeds off this whole custom thing. When he does Jacob in with his deceit. He appeals to custom. See, customs, I'm not saying customs are bad, but they're not necessarily good either. Too often people put customs above what is actually right and wrong. So 33, now the, quote, dowry, end quote, here was a very substantial marriage gift. If one calculates a minimum wage, just minimum wage, of a common laborer over a seven-year period, the wages here in Ohio, I guess, since 2015 is $8.10 per hour for minimum wage. Good grief. Back when I was in high school, that would have bought my favorite car forever. I think it was, I can remember back when it was 50 cents, then 75, then a dollar. You have 2,080 hours, a general 40-hour work week per year, times $8.10 per hour, times 7 years. That's $117,936. And probably a little change for overtime. You can almost see Laban's jaw drop over this proposal. It was far more than he could have thought he might get away with otherwise. I guarantee you that. He's fishing. See, Laban's fishing here. He's a con artist. He's smooth. He knows how to lead people in, just like his mom did with his dad Isaac, to make him think that these things are all their ideas and things of this nature. See, and you see all this SCA manifestation going on again in Rebecca's brother, Laban. And 7 years. And this guy's a good worker. He's obviously still very strong, very active. 7 years for a daughter. So if you understand that, then that paints our next verse with a slightly different color. In verse 19, Laban said, "It is better that I give her to you than I should give her to another man. Stay with me." So 34 again, you can almost see Laban's jaw drop over this proposal. It's far more than he could have thought he might get away with otherwise. 35, Laban is pictured responding in a way to cover any betrayal of mirth or joy over the deal. In other words, he doesn't say okay too quick. He makes it look like he's still negotiating in the whole thing. Just to give it away, 7 years, you got it, man, yeah. Well, obviously, that could give Jacob cause to reconsider. Oh, maybe that is a long time. That's too much here. If you ever dealt with people like this, that's how the system works. I kind of grew up in the background like that. I worked with pawn shops. I used to go down to Mexico quite a bit and deal with those guys down there. It's fun, you know, but they can sure take you if you're not careful. You know, to negotiate, to be a good negotiator, and to be smooth in trying to get something going. Laban is slick Willy all the way. In fact, I use those words on him. 36, his response is apropos for an incessant negotiator wanting to make the offer look like it was driving a hard bargain, yet without making Jacob suspect otherwise and reconsidering his offer. So 37, this is the intent of Laban's words. It is better that I give her to you than I should give her to another man. 38, that clause is designed to make Laban look like he's doing Jacob a favor, accepting his offer. All right. You drive a hard bargain there, Mr. Jacob. But it's better that I marry her off to you than to someone that I don't know. So that's his ploy. 39. Now the phrase "stay with me," Yeshav Imad, seals the deal. Now, in spite of any underlying intentions, both men go away from the negotiation more than pleased. At this point in time, Jacob, he couldn't offer too much in his eyes. So, Laban, he got way more than probably what he thought he would get if he met a smart negotiator. You got to remember, he's dealing with the servant. The servant didn't give him an inch. So he recognized what could come from that family. What could come from sound doctrinal people. They're not as easily taken because they do have discernment often. See. But otherwise, they both go off their own directions. And going, "Oh yeah, I got what I want." So 41, in Jacob's mind, he couldn't have over-offered for Rachel's hand. 42, this is made clear in verse 20. So Jacob served seven years for Rachel. They seemed to him but a few days because of his love for her. While Abad, Jacob bet Rachel, Sheva Shana, while Haya bet Ayan Kaf Yam, Ekad bet Akaba Eth. 43, Jacob was said so head over heels in love with Rachel that his 7 year stint flew by. The anticipation. Forty-four, he was in her company during that week of years, being financially broke on one hand, but on top of the world. And again, money isn't always everything. Your heart wants what the heart wants. For Laban, it was money. It is all about money. 45, now while the whole scene may seem romantic, the reality was that it was unnecessary. 7 years of the life, God could as easily intervene on his behalf. And he could have been married a lot sooner to the right woman, enjoying the pleasures of marriage. But no, Jacob's going to do it his way. And for 7 years, and you got to imagine, this is God dealing with a positive believer who's getting ready to learn a real big lesson in his life. A spiritual growth. 7 years, he's on top of the world in anticipation of marrying Rachel. And at the end of that 7 years, all that comes crashing down on him. See? So you think people are out there busting a hump, make it into the world. They're violating NPR. They're doing all these other things. They're getting ahead, and it looks so good. They seem so happy. Well, wait a second. Life ain't over yet. You don't know what's going to come down the pike tomorrow. None of us do. God can say, it's time to answer now. See? We don't know that. We've seen some health tests of some people close to us recently to remind us of these things. Are you going to take it to heart? Are you going to make it count and serve your population? Or are you just going to go off on your life and then where you go? Yeah, have a good time. Well, it's there. I've been there, done that, I'm not necessarily trying to get on anybody's case in that regard. I've been there, I've done that. I'm just trying to let you know it's not worth it. It's just not worth it. When the time comes, you will meet what's going to happen, and how that hits you in your face and how you deal with that. It's going to be dependent on what you've been doing with your life up to that point in time.
46, Jacob's expectations will crumble down upon him. The next thing he will find is his life in the web of his uncle for free work, not of the bargain.
For another 7 years. He's going to end up being 14 years total.
So 47, here we note that Laban does not actually give complete agreement to the wages Jacob offers.
He doesn't just say, yes, you got a deal. He obviously implies it, and this is the way con artists work. They call it sales in professional world. But it's not being upfront. You know, this is why you have rules out there when you go out in the world and you buy things. It says, buyer beware. Why did they say this? Because of the unscrupulous nature of people out there. So, yeah. You know, some reputations, some professions have worse reputation than others in these areas. But either way, Laban doesn't actually, if you will, solidify it by an affirmative, okay. It's just simply, well, you drive a hard bargain. I'd soon marry her off to you. Stay with me. 7 years, all right. Stay with me.
So 48, the question is he already scheming to cheat, or did this develop over the 7 years when he had no takers for Leah at the end of 7 years? 49, to say he wasn't thinking ahead, at least to some degree, this is my opinion, by the way, seems to underestimate the conniving SDA we find in Laban. This guy's sharp. He'll take you for your underwear and you think you got a brand new suit on. See? Just how slick this guy is, how underhanded he is, how hypocritical he is. Father, again, we thank you for the truth of your word. Ask God, the Holy Spirit, to continue to light these things. In Jesus' name, amen.